joining us now in our studios, we have Northfield Mayor Rhonda Pownell and City Administrator Ben Martin. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Happy Juneteenth to you. It's a national holiday. Does that mean you guys don't look like you're having today off?
Yeah, no, nobody gets a day off. Are you kidding me? You know, it was really fun. I was driving over the bridge at the last minute to get in here, but I didn't fly in and like slide into the sea and go crashing into the wall over there. But I think there was somebody fly fishing, or the way they were casting their line or something along the river.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just normally we see them over on the, what is it, the 4th Street Bridge, but not this far, close to the 2nd Street Bridge. That was really fun.
Yeah, we see a lot of people out here fishing, but fly fishing is a different thing. You don't see too many of them.
Maybe
I don't know
if they
have any trout in there or what. Yeah. But
maybe I'm wrong. I'm not an expert fisher. Somebody's like, oh my gosh, she is totally. Well, she doesn't know what she's talking about.
Well, I don't have a license and to do some fly fishing today, but we are closed at City Hall for Juneteenth. And one just thing to note that I want to thank the school district for this evening. They are hosting an actual event for this at the Northfield High School from 5 to 5:45, a free meal provided for the first 100 attendees, and then from 6 to 6:45, they've got a lecture from Dr. Yolanda Williams on African-American literature, art, and history of the University of Minnesota. So I want to thank the school district and their community partners for making that happen to do a local celebration.
All right, and that's starting at 5 o'clock at the high school.
That's right.
All right, let's talk about last night's city council meeting. You did have just one thing on the regular agenda, and that was approving the partnership and funding and such of a new ice arena. Let's talk about that. Exactly, you know, as far as the action taken, what was technically the action taken by council last night?
Well, that part of one of the main things that happened last night, and it was a 6-1 vote. We had one council person that was joining us via Zoom, which was great that we have the technology, right, to be able to do that. But one of the main things that the council did last night was approve the architect contract, which is a really important part of this as we start the designs. And there'll be a lot of additional approvals and touch points that will come back to the council in advance of before we actually authorize it and move forward with it, which I think some of those votes and things like that will happen in 2025 as well.
So this is not really at this point, a fast track to start digging and building a new arena tomorrow. There's still quite a few steps to be taken.
Oh, yeah. So I would say that this is moving in that direction. I would say staff will be moving full steam ahead to bring this project to construction based on the council's action. There's a lot of details behind that. Like the mayor said, architect agreement, the resolution adopted also kind of creates formalizes the financial framework, what's been approved. So contributing the sale proceeds from the sale of the arena to the project, recognizing the school district's $250,000 annual commitment for ice time in the facility, association donation from a private donor from the Hockey Association of 7 acres of land, about $375,000 in value, Dundas committed partnership and the cost sharing of the remaining amounts that we do based on our tax base together, which they unanimously approved at their Dundas, as the mayor Schweitzer said at the meeting, enthusiastic support from the Dundas City Council, knowing the importance to families moving here. And so those were components of that. And so the next steps that staff will now be working on, you do a certain level of due diligence, but until you bring the council and decision makers along, we've been given direction now to staff. So we'll be finalizing those terms of the Northfield Ice Arena sale, working with the Northfield Economic Development Authority on conduit financing, lease terms and conditions with the City of Dundas and the school district, and then preparing a general outline of understanding with the Hockey Association related to the private donations. Many more details, but that's a list that was specifically in the resolution to directing staff to move forward with those, which is really going to be ramping up. And as you said, the architect, as the mayor said, JLG, who's been a leader in doing projects in Minnesota, is really an expert Going to be ramping up with the design, and we've got a good start on that already, where I would say kind of schematic design phase we've already dipped into. So we'll probably be moving quickly into design development and then ultimately construction documents, but those will all be coming back to the council and more details to come, I guess, on all those things.
Yeah, let's talk about the details as far as the architect goes. How fast, I would imagine they're going to be checking in probably often over the course of the next few months while that design is being put into place, while they're getting it all together. You know, what is their schedule? When do you hope to have the official design?
I don't have that level of detail in front of me, Jeff. It's kind of okay. Like one step at a time, but I would say the goal would be to be beginning construction next year. And so they've been helping us with doing an evaluation, so I think it will be a quick transition for them to ramp up. They're familiar with the site. They've done some layout concepts working with not only our city staff, but also school representatives, ICE representatives. I assume there'll be a little more coalescing of some of that design team to get some input from the users as part of that process. That hasn't been kind of formalized, but it'll be basically ramping up and beginning design to try and get this thing out for bid in early 2025.
Let's talk about the financing of this. The financing you'll be using does not require a referendum, as many things do, but you won't be doing it this time. Tell us what the financing is and how the partnership of Dundas, the school district, and maybe other bodies kind of tie in. Are we all kind of equal partners in this? Granted, the population is different, but on a per capita basis, are we all equal in this?
Dundas and Northfield, yes. So the city taxpayers and the Dundas taxpayers will be based on the value of their property, and they'll all be paying the same rate. And that was how we kind of structured it based on the current environment that we have on each of our tax bases. So that would be a commitment. We don't have the agreements will be drafted up from some attorneys, but basically there would be a commitment from Dundas for the leasing of that building. Long-term agreement. The school district will have to annually approve it because they're using a tool called a lease levy that the school board has the authority to authorize every year. That's the same authority they're currently paying us for ice time. They've used it for like the gymnastics facility and the Dundas Dome too, so there's a limit that they have that they can use that on. So there'll be a longer-term kind of agreement structure, but then annually they'll have to approve that. The council will have agreements actually between the Economic Development Authority, because they're basically kind of a conduit financing, like you said, Jeff. Minnesota law related to public financing has many different types of tools depending on the projects that you're working on. This is the type of tool that we can use on this project. It helps us accelerate it, you know, move the project along versus a public vote too, because we know there's a buyer interested who's been patiently working with us. They wanted to close on it last year. They've been working on it for now. This allows us to move forward. And also by getting the project moving, we know how costs go up dramatically over time with inflation. We want to try and get ahead of that so we don't have more project delays to try and keep those costs down.
Let's talk about the Northfield Hockey Association and their role in this. They have pledged, at least $2 million and maybe some more. How is that? How does that work out?
I think this is probably just one step in front of the other, right? I mean, they've been part of this whole process even back, if you look at the referendum back in 2018 and the public participation and really going out there and helping to showcase to the community why this is important, why it's needed. They've committed to raise $2 million. And then on top of that, there's the land donation, which is valued at about $375,000. So they are hard at work. They know how important this is. They know the quality of the ice arena and what its deficiencies are, probably more than any one of us, even sitting in this room, because they live it every winter. Just really appreciate their involvement and their perspectives, and that they're committed and they are going out there and they're going to raise the funds. And if they get above and beyond that $2 million, they really want to see it go into some of the aspects of the project that were kind of geared down, I would say, to get us to that $20.8 or $20.9 million figure. Stadium, the concrete stadium seating, and other aspects of that, but they're committed. They've been part of this process all along, and look forward to their participation and commitment and drive to raising that $2 million, hopefully plus.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Mayor Pownell and City Administrator Martig, and we're talking about a new ice arena. Let's talk about the operational angle of this. I don't know how much of this was discussed last night, but as far as generating revenue, or at least enough revenue for it to be revenue neutral and not have to be subsidized by the city, other organizations from around the area renting ice time, perhaps one of the schools. I know St. Olaf has their big new ice arena, but is there going to be revenue at least enough to cover the operating cost?
Yeah, at a high level, I would say that what you see out in the industry is that this type of a facility can cash flow itself if it's a newer facility, well-maintained, invested on the operating side of it. But capital side, to be able to do a new construction or a major renovation, you look anywhere and they're going to need significant public community support in order to make that happen. So right now, I think we had about, I think Mr. Bennett said we had about $100,000 operating loss this last year. You know, this building's 50 years old. It's really at its useful life where you either need to do a major renovation or new, like we're looking at. Of course, we're going to sell it and then look at a new construction. But it's basically the similar size building. So we'd have a way more efficient building. It would meet our sustainable building design standards, which is going to have a higher efficiency than building code is. It will have a better design for flow and function. So we're very confident, based on other facilities, it's going to be way more efficient to operate on a similar type of building. And on top of that, our rates have been lower on ice times comparatively to others in our conference, particularly if you look at like the hockey programming. And it's because our facility's condition that's hard to justify being at the middle or the top if we're clearly really a deficient facility in comparison. I didn't even realize till the hockey coach spoke last night too that there are teams that won't even play here because they're concerned over the condition. And when he went through a list of all of the concerns with privacy and safety issues and sharing bathrooms with the public and waiting in line during breaks, some of that stuff even left my mind on working on this, just about what it must be like to live in that facility. So back to your question though, Jeff, I think our public works director is always going to be cautious on his commitment to the full break even, but I would say I'm bullish on that I think it's realistic to have that goal that we'd at least break even through our ice fees, a more efficient building, and maybe even find additional users in a new building.
Now, the cost on this arena has been estimated at, I want to say the number being thrown around is 20.5 million, somewhere in that vicinity. Is that that likely will go up or down some way at some point? Do we have a more precise number? Is this going to be pretty accurate as far as what this is going to cost?
I think there's a lot of people that have been dialoguing about that, and many people have really challenged the council. Look, we've seen this done in other communities for less. Why can't you do it for less? And as part of the process and the due diligence, our city engineer, Chris Kennelly, who's in the construction industry, they've been double-checking our facts on that and really believe that this, and we do cost estimating. I don't.
I don't know.
Our city engineer does it all the time on a regular basis with all of our construction projects. Any construction project has got that cost estimating feature in it. And as we're continuing to move along here, they're taking all of that into account. And my hope is that they're giving us a really conservative estimate and that hopefully it's not going to be above and beyond that. They're taking into account the cost of materials and the cost of labor and all of those aspects. We're working with an architect that has a lot of experience with this. So we've got a lot of great people around the table to ensure that we're being given really solid numbers that we can really depend upon.
All right. Ben?
Yeah, I agree with the mayor. And again, the cost did get brought down from the $28 million by removing some features that we'd like to have, but again, the cost sensitivity that was brought down. As the mayor said, JLG's architects use their own cost estimators for the design development. We took and they took those numbers to their construction team to verify. And then independently, Chris Canelli, who's in the construction business, has many partners in some larger companies. He had them he had another firm check the numbers, and they said plus or minus 5%. They believe that those are realistic. We even had a third group that's a private group that was looking at doing a private build and did some comparisons on the numbers too. And they also believe that this was realistic and even, you know, looked at the details of the plans to see if there was any other kind of things to cut and or changes that could be done more efficiently with the building. And there was basically consensus on these, you know, three, four different groups that we're looking at. You know, is this realistic?
It's going to be checking in at that $20 million range.
Yeah, so, okay. We're in this conceptual design, which, again, mm-hmm. I would say, based on the work that we've done, we're a little more advanced than you would typically be in a design process. So I would say we're going to be rolling into that. When you start really refining the details, we'll have better estimates. But I think we're definitely on a strong track and believe these are realistic numbers. Like the mayor said, you build in some contingencies. I wouldn't get overly optimistic that we're going to shoot in a lot lower at this point, but certainly going to do anything we can to try and keep the costs down but still deliver a facility that will serve this community for 50-plus years into the future.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? Those are all the questions I have for the new arena. For now, we're going to be talking about that quite a bit over the next year or two, couple of years. So we'll have mm-hmm. continuing conversation. But anything, that was the only item on the agenda last night. Anything else you'd like to bring up?
Oh, you forget the 14 items that were on the consent agenda.
Yeah. There is one more thing I want to ask you is a little promo. Next week, we get our mm-hmm. first look at the finalists for the new police chief, I understand.
Yes.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Yeah, June 25th from 6 to 8 p.m. We've invited in two finalists, Michael Garland and Jeff Schrepfer, I believe is how you say their names. Both highly qualified, been in the police or law enforcement industry for 25, 26 years. They had a preliminary. We've had a couple different touch points with the city thus far, with an initial interview and then a community interview panel, multiple panels, actually really talking to them. And the general public is invited to the Grand, June 25th, 6 to 8 p.m. You'll be able to dialogue with them directly and hear a presentation from them, and it'll be a great opportunity and a really important one, actually, that our community can come out and meet these two candidates.
Okay, the date on that is the 25th, which is next Tuesday. It's at the Grand. We'll have more on that next week. And tomorrow morning, we'll have Police Chief Elliott joining us as well.
Nice.
So thank you, too, for coming in. Much appreciated. And we will talk to you again soon.
Okay.